Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'll record.
Cabin FE8370900.
There she is.
Yes.
Absolutely finally. Nailed it. Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah, I really am.
Should we start?
Yes.
Great big.
That's the end, isn't it? Oh.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Twit to woo, and how's your cabin?
Oh, you're really, really pushing the cabin thing, aren't you?
A log cabin is a small log house, especially a less finished or less architecturally sophisticated structure. Log cabins have an ancient history in Europe and in America, are often associated with first generation home building by settlers.
Have you had that ready, or did you just know that?
It's coming out of my head. Do you want to hear about the European history?
Yeah, please.
Construction with logs was described by Roman architecture Vitaverus Pollio. In his architectural treatise.
Oh, this is like watching a TED talk.
De Architectura. He noted that in Pontus, modern day northeastern Turkey, dwellings were constructed by laying logs horizontally over the top of each other and filling in the gaps with chips and mud.
Chips?
That's what it says.
I imagine wood chips, not potato chips.
Not delicious chips.
Not delicious. Undelicious chips. Boo. Non-potato chips. I've got an email from you, Monks.
Yeah.
I'm on my way. Why are you emailing me?
Oh, it's been a nightmare. So we were due to meet at 1:30. What's the time now?
8:38.
Oh. My phone was out of battery. My laptop was out of battery. I managed to find my laptop charger. I then found my phone charger. But in order to message you on WhatsApp on my laptop, my phone has to be on. And it was so out of battery that even plugged in, it wasn't switching on. So I sent you an email.
I only arrived about 2 minutes before you, to be fair, so I wouldn't even stress yourself. Anything below 10 minutes late is fairly run-of-the-mill for cabin fever. Run of the cabin. Isn't it? So that's fine. I wouldn't worry. Are you well? I've got some exciting cabin-related news, actually.
Is it about the fact that Tom is in a cabin and that's why he's not
Tom's
here?
Tom's not here, is he? Yeah,
Tom's
we should
not
say,
here.
God, it's just like, it's almost like so times. Used to him not being here that we just didn't bother to even mention it.
Should we cut him out?
Oh, yeah, haven't we? He's not here again. Where is he now? In Wales or something?
He's in Wales. There was a very long conversation about the fact he's going to Wales before you guys go to Wales.
Yes, correct. We did that last week, didn't we?
To see his mum.
Yeah, see his mum with the kids and that. It's worth saying we are going to Wales next week, so we will be having a week off next week, won't we?
Well, I'm not going to Wales, so maybe I should just do it.
Do you want to rope in a guest host and do it?
Do I have to press all the buttons?
Oh, you just record it however you want, yeah. Just record it how you record bitching, you know? Just get Mary or Matt or someone.
Oh, my God. I'll get Tilly.
Tilly. I mean, literally.
But then aren't we just doing bitching?
Yeah, but you have to bitch about cabins.
Yes! Yes!
Cabins is the thing you have to talk about. Okay, this is what we're going to do next week. Rather than an empty inbox, you and Tilly need to do an episode about cabins. A deep dive into cabins.
So anyone that doesn't know, that's because me and a woman called Tilly, who's been on your podcast,
She's been on it, yeah.
But for any new listeners, I just realise there's a lot of context. All the time, there's context that you kind of need.
Yeah.
Ugh, I can't be bothered to explain it, actually.
Well, it's called cabin fever because we started it in lockdown when everyone was getting cabin fever, the sort of concept, the metaphorical concept. But Helen suggested last week that we actually make the show about cabins.
Yeah. Which we now are doing, obviously. And also separate, me and Tilly have a podcast where we talk about a different person each week, but next week we'll be on Cabin Fever and we'll talk about cabins.
Okay, that's fine, isn't it?
Yeah.
And then it was drawn to my attention this week. There's a Radio 4 programme. My uncle, who you met, Alan.
Yeah, Alan.
Said that the poet laureate does a show on Radio 4 where he does it from a shed, which is as akin to a cabin as you can get, I guess.
Wow.
So there's a whole sort of shed-based broadcasting. Actually, on the subject of Alan, and this is important because we're recording this the day after his birthday, okay?
Yeah. Now, happy birthday.
Oh, I know. This is exactly what I'm going to say is what I did was forget to text him yesterday because I started writing a text and then I started writing something quite in depth about cabins just to make him laugh. And then I got a call and then I went out for the whole day to work and drove to Oxfordshire and lots of other stuff. And then by the time I'd got back, it was really late and the midnight had passed. Oh. And I realised that I'd missed the text window. And didn't want to text him too late at night anyway. So I figured rather than do a belated day after text, which is... No one wants that, do they?
No,
I'd save it and hope that a public apology, sorry Alan, and B,
sorry, Alan.
Birthday wishes on the podcast would be some sort of would make up for that in some way, you know? So
should we sing a song about No, I was gonna say about birthday, about Alan for his birthday.
Yeah, if you'd like to, would you like to
Yes.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Helen Monk's birthday song for Alan.
Are you going to play the piano?
Well, it depends what tune you're doing it to. It's going to be tricky, this, but okay. Ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
Alpacas, Alsatians, Aldi the shop. All these things are not as good as Alan. A lane I drive down and a lavender bush. All these things are not as good as Alan.
I've heard you sing before and you can do it, but none of those were notes, really. Like, you can hold a tune. That was remarkably unmusical.
But I was concentrating on the lyricism,
sort of word painting more than anything else.
I was quite impressed with myself.
Also, I forgot that the setting was on harpsichord because I'd been recording something earlier. So it wasn't even a piano accompaniment, it was a sort of harpsichord. But I imagine a harpsichord's more suited to a cabin, really, I thought.
Yeah, and it sort of felt a bit old-fashioned because I was more sort of chanting, wasn't I, rather than singing.
Yeah, that was kind of it. You were
Gregorian
sort of chanting.
So that kind of fits with does it? Gregorian chanting fit with a harpsichord? No, they're two different.
They're different things.
Well, anyway, happy birthday, Alan.
Happy birthday, Alan. And yes, anyway, please consider that the full extent of my formal apology for the half text that I started to write and then it was too late to send. So happy birthday on the podcast.
Happy birthday.
And, I mean, I'm sure you'll agree it was worth it for the sort of word art that Helen vomited up then.
What note would you say I picked there at the beginning?
Well, you picked one and then did a different one and neither of them were really sort of nailed on a note. Do you know what I mean?
I'm very into not the structures of our kind of Western traditions of just eight notes.
Oh, I appreciate that.
There's many semitones in between each tone.
Well, there's quarter tones and eighth tones and everything.
Yeah, I love to delve into those.
Yeah, it's very sort of Eastern of you. That's fine. Do you know what? I'm imagining you singing that in a remote cabin somewhere far from here.
Also, great fact about Alan about... Is it poet laureate Simon Armitage?
Armitage, correct, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
I just always assume anything to do with poetry is Simon Armitage.
Yeah, basically, or Carol Ann Duffy. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There's only two of them, as far as I'm aware.
And I think they've both been poet laureates.
Yeah, they have.
But we should get him on to this podcast.
To discuss... Who's Simon Armitage?
Yeah, if he does a poetry podcast from his cabin.
Do you think we're ready to have the poet laureate of Great Britain on this podcast?
Yeah, I do. I think we're there. I think we're there. Because, we can just. I mean, based on nothing. I emailed him once.
Yeah, a lot. I just feel... You emailed him?
Yeah, he didn't reply.
What did you email him about?
I sent him some poems.
Did you? What were they?
They were, so I was a student at Sheffield, the University of Sheffield, and he was the professor of poetry. So naively in my first year, I thought, oh, we can be pals. Oh, they'll be on my university email.
Oh, no, don't lie. They're somewhere.
There must be somewhere. Actually, they probably aren't somewhere because they were written on a laptop that was stolen. So probably for the best. Probably. I was poet laureate.
That's so sad.
Of Birmingham.
You were poet laureate of Birmingham, the city, or just the university? What are you talking about?
I was Birmingham's first young poet laureate.
That is something we've never discussed, and we've discussed a lot of shit on this podcast. So how have we not got to that?
I don't know. I sort of deeply ashamed of it, really.
Why? You're poet laureate, the young poet laureate. And Simon Armitage did not even reply.
Yeah, he didn't reply.
Well, there you
Do you know who was very supportive? Was Benjamin Zephaniah. He's also a poet.
Did you email him?
He was the ambassador of the Birmingham Young Poet Laureate scheme. So he gave me my
I'll tell you
prize.
What, in terms of culture, we've now named three poets on this episode of Cabin Fever, and that is about as sort of highbrow as we're ever going to get, I would have thought. But breaking news, Helen, because before we do the ads and the WhatsApp agenda as per...
You have news.
I've not only got news, I've got a guest. And when I say a guest, it's just Lizzie that's always on. But hey, Lizzie.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Lizzie, how long have you been there?
Oh, just listening to you chat about poets. I couldn't even name three poets.
Well, we did it. Caroline Duffy, Simon Armitage, Benjamin Zephaniah.
Guys, is my connection okay?
You sound a bit like you're in a well, the bottom of a well, and we're at the top of the well. The connection's fine. It's more the sort of sound quality. But I imagine you're not calling from any sort of professional broadcasting company, are you?
Are you in a cabin?
I'm classic... Well, hang on a minute, Dave. You imagine I'm not calling from a professional podcasting company. Yes. I'm literally calling from Acast HQ.
Yeah, I know. That's exactly what I mean. You're literally in the place where...
I am where I count the supporter feature donations, by the way. and I'm dividing up your money, your millions, and I'm siphoning it into your bank accounts.
Thank you very much. I'm excited about that.
All to me, please.
No, the reason Lizzie's on, Helen, is... Well, I'll let her tell you. Lizzie... Why have I booked you? I'm making this sound like a very professional production. Why did I text you about half an hour ago and say, come on, Cabin Fever?
Because Tom didn't turn up.
Oh, yeah. Well, no, to be fair, we've done a lot of them without Tom recently.
I'm joking.
It's not really a hurdle anymore, is it, Monksy?
No, if anything, it's annoying when he is here.
I just love when he didn't realise you guys had been carrying on without him and it didn't even come up. It's brilliant. No, the reason I'm here is because, no joke, my family and I used to live in a cabin.
Is this real life?
It is. Do you know what? It sounds fake and it sounds like I'll make up any excuse just to get on the Cabin Fever podcast. But genuinely, from the ages of 7 to 11, my family and I, we all lived in basically a log cabin together. And so last week I was like, hang on a minute, I've got an anecdote. And also, this conversation is about to take a right turn into the very... middle class privileged zone. Okay.
Yeah,
so I just want to warn you all about that. Not because the cabin was swish, but the reason I lived in a cabin was because my mum was boarding mistress at a boarding school in the Kent countryside. Ooh. And the house that they had for the boarding family to live in was basically a cabin in the gardens. And so for 4 years I lived in this cabin and it was, you know, when you're a kid and you don't know any different, so you just assume that's normal life.
Yeah,
and then you look back and you're like, what? Ah, no, it's weird. Everyone didn't live in a cabin when they were growing up, with like gaps in the wall between the woods and wildlife like crawling throughout it.
Wow, how amazing. I can't believe it.
I know, right? I mean, I'm sure you've got loads of questions, guys, as cabin aficionados. I think you want to know a lot. So just hit me.
Yes. Yeah, well, Helen's the cabin expert, so I'll let her sort of lead this, because my interest in cabins sort of lasted up until the point where I had the word cabin last week, and that's the extent. So, Helen, go on. You're like a kid in a sweet shop, right?
Yeah, this is it. This is what the podcast is about from now on. So let's start as we mean to go on. Question number one. You were a child, so you might not know this. Do you know what year the cabin was built?
Well, I know that it had been around for a long time. It had been at least since the 1970s. this new feature in the new format, have you run this past John Harris to make sure that he's happy with how it's going to fly and all that kind of thing in terms of, you know, the overall
the sort of
overall
tone and editorial direction of Cabin Fever?
Yeah.
John Harris the man's in charge of our podcast at Acast, Helen. He's...
Oh, I see.
So he might have something to say about it. We haven't run it past anyone, Lizzie, but...
I can get him in. He's right here. John. Yeah, great. Okay, great. Right, yeah, cool. He's on the phone to Ron Seal as we speak, his potential brand partner.
Finally, sorry, Helen, a sponsor. Thank God.
Sorry, Helen, I completely interrupted your format. Yeah, so 1550.
No. Great. And was your cabin ever used by a witch to lure children to eat lots of food and then eat them?
Well, I mean, unless you're basically calling my mother a witch, no, I'm joking. Not that I'm aware of. I luckily didn't see any strange children ghosts either when I was there. So I'm going to say probably not.
Amazing.
This is great. Okay. I feel like I'm a mastermind.
Fascinating insight into Monks' mind, this, isn't it? These are the first two questions she asked about your cabin.
How did you heat the cabin?
We used to just set fire to the sides. No. How did we heat the cabin? It probably had some very dodgy sort of like heaters from the 1970s. It probably wouldn't pass any kind of inspection nowadays.
So no central heating?
In fact, I'm not even sure if the... I don't think so, no. I mean, it was quite basic. I mean, it was nice and everything. Like, oh, cry me a river. I had to live in the grounds of a boarding school. But it was, you know, it was quite basic. As I say, there were massive gaps between the planks of wood, like that were the walls. So when the wind howled, it really whistled. It was very scary. And there was nature everywhere. There were always earwigs. I think at one point a bat might have flown in through one of the gaps in the cabin walls. So,
ooh, a cabin bat.
Back to nature. My next question is, have an aga?
No, because I say it was quite primitive. So I think we probably had what would now pass for sort of a 1970s style, almost like camping. We definitely didn't have an aga.
We're in a cabin. This is like a proper cabin. Was there a rifle cupboard?
Shall I just start lying? Yes.
Yeah, it's important that you do. I think Helen's not going to be happy.
One of the largest rifle cupboards in Southeast England. Yeah, absolutely. No, but seriously though, one of the best things about it. So we lived in this cabin. It was very sort of much in nature. And we used to have a rabbit. And because we lived in the grounds and it was, you know, lots of lovely rolling hills, we didn't used to lock the rabbit up during the day in his own hutch. We used to just let him roam free. Now, of course, this cabin was in the grounds of my actual school. So I would be sat in like maths class and suddenly just look to my left and my rabbit would just be hopping past a window as I was trying to do my calculus and just roaming the grounds. I mean, what kind of idyllic childhood is that?
That's mad. That's great. This is a whole part of your life I didn't know anything about.
And did you stay in the cat? So it was a boarding school, but you stayed in the cabin when your friends all slept in the school.
Yeah, so all the boarders lived in school and my family lived in the cabin. And then it was quite sweet, actually, because for a period of one year, there was only one girl boarder in the entire school. And so if it was ever going to be stormy, I'd look at the weather forecast and I'd go and sleep in the school next to her so that she wasn't alone in the dormitory.
Oh, that's very cute.
Oh, God. God, I'm really painting an Earth Mother picture of myself. I mean, Dave would attest the fact I'm not.
Yeah.
And I've changed greatly in intervening 30 years.
I'm thrilled by this. What a time to be alive.
Yeah, but also, not only strange that you, like a coincidence that you lived in a cabin, but what an unusual experience to have a house on the grounds of the school that you go to.
I know. Good time. Because also, as I say, right, like, again, sounds incredibly privileged, but also I didn't know any better when I was that age. So we had full access, of course, to like the school had a swimming pool, it had a running track, it had a farm, it had like, you know, like its own sort of hidden wooden play area. So basically in summer holidays, that was just my entire like playground, like my life. It was great.
Wow.
I know.
Did so, you have any the alpacas story is, on the farm?
Did you have any alpacas? No,
do you know
but
what
we... Oh, go on.
Just alpacas. Do you know what they're not as good as? Alan!
You missed that bit, didn't you?
Oh.
It's my it's my Uncle Alan's birthday, and or it was this week, and Helen sang a song sort of stretching the definition of it.
Uncle Alan, how's he doing? I miss that guy.
He's fine, yeah. He's absolutely fine. I saw him earlier in the week, actually. Went to visit.
Did you give him my best?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, come on.
So there you go. So, hey, Lizzie, thanks very much. We need to go and do the adverts and the WhatsApp agenda now before, you know, we run out of time, frankly.
Okay.
But thanks for your cabin expertise.
Yeah, no, of course. Like, I hope that was useful. Helen, I'm sorry that my answers weren't necessarily exactly what you were looking for, but maybe I should have done a bit more research. But yeah, look, all I'm saying is, like, it's fine to live in a cabin because look how I turned out, you know?
Yes, I'm really pleased. And I just didn't even realise it was a thing people in this country particularly lived in. So I think this is now the beginning of us finding every single person who's ever lived in a cabin in the UK. Yeah.
Incredible.
Dave?
Well, I fully support this campaign.
I guess that's not as terrible as just doing it about the sort of technical makeup of a cabin, you know?
I might just have to get some better questions than was there a witch
Can
who...
I just, when this came up last week, right, about like, oh, you know, we should be like cabin focused, I bet whoever said it thought they were saying it as a throwaway comment, and little did they know, of course, we'd all take it too seriously, and now suddenly it seems to be in true cabin fever style.
Definitely there's a fever for cabins. Do, isn't it? Yeah.
I'm thrilled.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Thanks, Lizzie.
Of course. I hope to, I hope to see you all in a cabin near you soon.
Can't wait.
Thanks,
can't
mate.
Wait.
Ciao.
Bye. Are you going to play some adverts?
Oh, shall I play the wrong thing again?
Remember leaving the house and going to stuff? Well, it's back, because Great Big Owl is bringing some of our favourite shows to the London Podcast Festival, starting September the 2nd, and we'd love to see you there. So if you're a fan of...
Two Mr. P's in a Podcast.
Brian and Roger.
My Mate Bought a Toaster.
Friends with Friends.
The One Show Show.
Richard and Greta.
From Queer to Eternity.
Wrestle Me.
Or Just Daytime Drinking.
Then go to the King's Place website and grab some tickets now. And by some tickets, we ideally mean 8 tickets, that's one for each show. Actually, bring a friend and make that 16 tickets. Great Big Owl, the only podcast network with the audacity to ask you to buy 16 tickets in one go. But we'll be thrilled if you just buy one.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Well,
there you go. That's good.
That was
did you enjoy
brilliant.
Your, did you enjoy your cabin treat?
It's cabine a delight.
Oh, God. Oh, lordy, lordy. Right, let's rattle through this WhatsApp agenda
right,
before
come on.
You do any more of that.
So,
well, it's tricky, isn't it? Because some of this is going to be Tom's stuff now. We're back into the absolute... Oh, my goodness. Do you know what?
The first one is agenda cabins.
Oh, it's a different, WhatsApp, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the WhatsApp. It's the WhatsApp agenda WhatsApp. The first one is Dave going, agenda, hi, and then agenda, understood. And then I say agenda cabins. And then you say agenda, Tom's game. Oh, we were going to do a thing where it's to do with the price of something.
Yeah, well, he's not here, is he? That bloody thing, is he? There's a lot going on there. There's not very much happening here, is there?
Agenda boxes.
Ah, boxes. Yeah, that's me. That's me,
isn't
it?
That's you. That's you.
My parents moved house. I went over the night before they were about to leave. And they were doing that thing where, because they're going up north.
And, oh, no, forever?
Well, yeah. Well, yes, not forever. I mean, I don't think they sort of signed a sort of pact with the devil that means that they'll can never move again.
Manchester?
My parents are big movers. They love a move.
Oh, do they? Oh, do they?
They've
okay.
moved before.
Okay.
But they were doing that thing where they were just taking the car up. So they were taking, like, the essentials, you know? Mm-hmm. So they had, like, 6 boxes in the corner, I think, packed. And classic Judith Cribb had written the sort of... contents of each box on the side, very organized. Yeah, cheers, yeah. Indeed.
Oh, great.
And one of the essentials boxes that they deemed, I mean, this fascinated me on 2 levels. 1, the fact that some of these things were essentials, and 2, the combination of items in this box. on the front box, the only one I could see written on were mason jars, food, slippers, deck shoes and checkbooks.
It's like the apocalypse must-have list.
Deck shoes?
Deck shoes.
They've never lived on a boat in their lives.
Also, I'm sorry, who uses checkbooks anymore?
Oh, it's an essential, mate. Get the deck books and check shoes. No, deck shoes and checkbooks.
I love a deck book and a check shoe.
The old deck and check. My
deck
days.
And check.
I still don't really know. I don't think I've ever seen either of my parents wear deck shoes, so I don't know, A, what they're referring to when they say deck shoes, and B, where they would ever wear deck shoes, because as far as I'm aware, it's been a long time since they've been on any sort of deck.
And what was the first thing you said?
Mason jars.
What's a mason jar?
You know, sort of jars you put sort of things in the kitchen, like sugar or nuts or what, you know, like
oh,
all that sort of stuff.
Oh, I was thinking of masons, like as in the steel masons with the handshake.
Sure. No. It's not sort of a jar souvenir
jar.
From a meeting at the Masons. So there you go.
Oh my gosh, good for them being big movers and shakers.
Movers and shakers.
Maybe
really
we
just movers,
move to
movers
Manchester.
And deckers.
Would you move out of London?
Would I move out of London? Yeah, at some point maybe. I've been pondering it more since the old pandemic.
Panny D.
Would you?
Yeah.
Where would you go?
Isle of Skye.
Can I pitch you something actually?
Yes.
This is good. I was talking to our mutual friend Mark Haynes yesterday.
Oh. Mark.
We spent 4 hours in a car on the way to Barry Cryer's house.
Barry Cryer.
Yeah, absolutely. What a wild... I've got a great story from yesterday, actually.
Ooh,
that I will tell
I'm excited.
You, in a minute. I'm going to put it on the WhatsApp agenda, actually.
Don't forget to put agenda so we can find it.
Oh, shit, yeah. I forgot that, didn't I? But we spent a lot of time and we decided that moving out of London is actually delightful, but the problem is you won't have your mates around you because everyone moves to different places. So our pitch to whoever is interested is that we all sort of find a nice village that we agree on, and then we all just move there. So we can move out of London and all move to a sort of an area where we can all just walk to the pub and like, so yeah, that's what I'm pitching to you. Do you want to be part of our commune? It does sound like a commune, doesn't it?
It does sound like a commune cult.
But not a commune cult. Just like, imagine I was like, oh, I've moved to this village just outside of London or whatever. That's a beautiful little country village and it's got a nice pub and all that. And you come and visit. And you're like, do you know what? I like it too. I might
I'll
move there too.
Here, and then I'll move all my friends and then
yeah.
And then they'll
so you
move
pick
all
like your little close circle. So you've just got a little support network and community around you of people you know and like.
Okay. I'm warming up to the idea.
All right, hang on. Let me pitch it again properly. Sorry, I should have thought of this.
Go on.
Find a village with some cabins.
I'm there.
There you go.
I'm there. And we each have a cabin. Do you want to come round to my cabin? Yeah. Exactly.
Okay, so we're all moving to Centre Parks, basically, is what's happening now. Which I'm absolutely not against. That's got cabins, it's got a rapids machine.
Infectious diseases.
And it's got bikes and woods. I'm fine. I'm thrilled. Centre Parks is one of the greatest places.
Yeah, I'm there. What's you next? And Mark.
Bathroom.
We're getting a new bathroom.
Are you?
Yeah.
Not the mould fest?
No. And so my landlord is my very good friend. It's her flat, and her mum sort of helps her manage the flat.
Yeah.
And her mum messaged and said, just wondering if you do get any mould in the bathroom. So I replied and said, yes, we get a lot of mould in the bathroom.
What is it? Famously, please listen to 25 episodes of this podcast for the details.
I'm actually really pleased because a big part of me was worried because I think they would be a bit offended if they had listened and heard me talking about how mouldy the bathroom is without, do you know what I mean? I've not messaged them to let them know. They'd probably have done something about it. Anyway, so she's replied and said, great, sounds like we should have chul.
Chul?
So then I Googled chul and it's a type of marsh. Abundant marshy area of California. Anyway, I replied and said, just had to Google what chul is. Sounds great. And she said, whoops, I meant to put tile.
That's a big idea. Was it tiles in your bathroom?
Tiles. We're getting tiles.
Huge news.
Big news.
Moving into the 21st century.
Yeah, I can't wait.
What a time to be alive.
Yeah, I'll be sending pictures, updates. It's starting on the 27th of September and then should take about 2 weeks.
Well, we could do an outside broadcast from your bathroom to unveil it.
Oh my gosh, let's get the mayor of Wimbledon or something like Joe Lycett did. Oh,
yeah, exactly. Do you know the mayor of Wimbledon?
I don't think there is a mayor of Wimbledon. I know the MP because I wrote to him. Well, I write to him quite a lot.
It's just like when you write to Simon Armitage and he never replies.
No, see, he does reply, Stephen Hammond.
I
emailed him this week actually about Channel 4 being privatised and he sent me a very long reply, which I haven't read yet because it looks really annoying.
Oh, no.
He always sends these very snooty emails back explaining why he is privatising things or why he doesn't support children being given free school meals and all of that stuff.
Sounds a bit political for this cabin-based podcast, Helen. Has he got any opinions on cabins? Ask him next time you're out to him. Yeah, please do. It's important that you do.
I'll send him a little message. Okay, so next we have exercise. This was me.
Yeah, exercise, please.
I'm doing quite a bit of exercise at the moment.
Cool. Next.
Next we have Scotland 500, which is... Your sister DM'd me on Instagram because I posted a picture of my friend Mary, who I live with, and my other friend Lucy, who I don't live with, because I was waving them goodbye because they're going to Scotland to do Scotland 500. And Sarah Crib messaged and said, WhatsApp agenda, so I put it on the WhatsApp agenda.
Okay. And that's it, is it? I feel like I'm very dismissive of some of your things so far. Well, that's nice. How are they still there? What is the Scotland 500? How what is it?
You cycle from one side of Scotland to the other, and it's about 520 miles, I think.
Right.
And I think it's going quite badly. They've sent a few messages saying the seat of one of Lucy's bikes flew off. So then they because it's really rural, so there's nowhere to really stay apart from. They have to get to the Airbnbs that they've booked, and there's only like one Airbnb per place.
Oh,
anyway, her saddle flew off, and there were a lot of hills or something. So they had to find this woman, and the woman let them sleep in her caravan. So that's nice.
Oh, that is nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
lovely.
I think that they're not quite on track, but I'll keep you updated.
Yeah, please do. I'm interested. Absolutely interested.
There you go. Next we have Lizzie's Cabins.
That we've comprehensively covered that, I would suggest.
It's very coincidental that Lizzie lived in a cabin. Banjo.
The story from yesterday. Oh, this is one of these things. I'm not sure if I should really recount it because it's a story
shame
I got
you've
told.
You've given away the name of who it's about.
By someone else. It's not actually Barry Cryer's story.
Oh, okay.
There's a lot going on here, but basically we're recording a new podcast with Barry Cryer coming soon to Great Big Owl. Exciting.
Woo!
Wonderful. And I'm going to tell the story, but let's keep it in the circle, shall we? Don't want this to be.
Putting it out on a public podcast. Can you just change the names and details?
No, because the names are the funny. It's the best thing. I think it's probably absolutely fine, and it's probably a matter of public record somewhere.
Why don't you tell it, and then if it's not appropriate, I'll tell you afterwards, and then you can just do a really long bleep.
Well, I think it's the sort of podcast that the guests would have happily told on the podcast, but didn't because we'd stopped recording, and then we just kept talking. And you know, anyone that's ever seen Barry Cryer or anything will know he just tells stories constantly. And our guest yesterday, a guy called Joe Brown, very good musician, like very famous from back in the day, also is the same. So from the moment we arrived, they were chatting, and then we recorded, and they chatted for an hour and a half, and then we stopped, and they chatted. And great. One of the stories that was in the latter chat just didn't happen to be recorded.
Okay, just do it. I think it's fine.
But it's such a good story. So Joe Brown is like, it's really worth listening to this podcast when it comes out, and I'll tell you when it comes out on Great Big Owl and all this sort of stuff. But
Pluggy.
Yeah, pluggy. But Joe Brown's a fascinating man. He's had a great life. He's done the West End. He's done TV presenting. He's been a musician. He was like one of the original guys. Like, if I tell you that... Joe Brown in 1962 got a call asking if from a manager of a band saying, "Oh, I've got this band. They need a bit of stage time. Can they come and support you for a couple of gigs?" So Joe Brown has been supported by the Beatles twice.
No,
all right. So we're talking that sort of level of nonsense.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, he became very good friends with them, and he's like best mate with George Harrison. George Harrison was the best man at his second wedding. Wow. All this stuff's very much about, anyway. So George Harrison one day gave him a banjo. It was broken, and he said, "Look, you know, this is your world. You play all the ukes and the banjos and stuff. I know the guys that can sort this out. This needs a bit of restoring, needs a bit of fixing. Can it be fixed?"
Yeah, yeah.
Joe takes it to his banjo guy. Banjo guy says, "Look, this is it's beyond repair. I don't think it's worth doing anything with this. Sorry, you know, it's not worth the time. It's gone. You know, it's an old
right,
thing.
Yeah, done, dead."
Takes it back, puts it under his bed, leaves it. Months pass, a year passes. George Harrison then rings him up. They've both forgotten. George Harrison rings him up and goes, "Has he got the banjo, by the way? Did you ever fix it?" He's like, "Oh, I've totally forgot. Absolutely, totally forgot." The guy said, "It's not worth repairing. It's basically beyond repair. Do you want me to just check it out? I can just check it out if you don't need it." George Harrison says, "Don't check it out. Whatever you do, don't check it out."
Oh my gosh.
And honestly, whatever punchline you're expecting from this story, you're not going to guess it. If I gave you 6 hours.
Yeah, drugs in the banjo.
Hmm?
Drugs in the banjo.
Nope. Nothing along that.
The banjo is actually secretly a clue for a escape room.
It's astonishing. So he goes, it's quite historically significant, this banjo.
Oh, whose banjo is it?
And this is the bit where you will never guess it for a million. Guess 10 people.
Okay, Elizabeth the First.
Madder.
William Shakespeare.
Madder.
God.
Okay, more realistic.
Is it a musician?
No. You're not even going to guess the category.
Is it a politician?
No. I guess so, in a way.
Churchill.
You're much, much closer. I'm going to tell you now.
Adolf Hitler. No, I really want to guess. Is it something with Andrew Marr?
You're from Hitler to Andrew Marr? He goes, "Don't throw it out, whatever you do. That was Mussolini's banjo."
Can we appreciate how close I got with Hitler?
Yeah, surprisingly. But you said, when you said categories, I was like, is he a musician? No. Is he a writer? No. Is he a dictator? Oh, there is.
How had he ended up with Mussolini's banjo?
Well, the story's even madder. So Mussolini had given it to Frank Sinatra, who had given it to one of his band, who had given it to George Harrison. And George Harrison had asked Joe Brown to fix it.
Oh,
how
my
mad
goodness
is that story?
Me. That story is wild.
It's insane.
I didn't know
anyway,
Mussolini
there
played
10
the banjo.
Stories. What? Dude, Mussolini's banjo is like, I'm ready for the sort of the Queen's Gambit Netflix 10-part drama about this.
Mussolini's banjo. Oh my gosh, it sounds a bit rude, I think.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It really does.
You assume that before you assume he actually literally plays a banjo.
Yes. Which in itself is mad. So there you go. I think we should leave it on that note
yes,
today, don't you?
Yes, I do. Can't top that. What a story.
So there we go. End of Cabin Fever. The end. Goodbye.
The end.
Any other business?
Cabins are great.
Great big. Oh, for fuck's sake. I've played none of the things right yet.
Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 Cabin FE83709. Oh, 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 that's our Twitter name.
Adolf Hitler, not as good as Alan.
Adolf Hitler?
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.